second guess me. No, no.
Confessions of a train wreck. Commandment number 135. Thou shalt remember that what doesn't kill you gives you content. We've all heard that saying that everything in life is either a blessing or a lesson. And I think I can confidently speak on behalf of the majority of the human race when I say that 2020 has definitely not been the latter. While the succession of extreme events that have unfolded over the last 12 months have left us even more shook than a gingerbread martini, the best lessons in life aren't the ones that are taught, but rather the ones that are experienced. And my God, have we experienced. So, in an attempt to end this garbage fire of a year with the attitude of gratitude, please join me in welcoming my friend, train wreck veteran, and newly graduated counsellor, might I add, Sammy Rose, back to the podcast to share 20 things we learned in 2020.
Welcome back, Sammy.
Thank you. I feel like I need my own jingle now at this point.
I think you do too, like, but I...
Sammy, keep the show.
Guess who's back? Back again. Sammy Rose is back. Do you like being called Sammy or Sammy Rose?
Sammy.
Sammy, yeah. Sammy Rose is like very Instagram, hey? Like if you met someone out who followed you on Instagram, would they be like, it's Sammy Rose?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like people to me. They're like, it's the train wreck. I'm like, actually, my name's Phoebe, but that's
actually,
fine.
I do have a real name.
So firstly, since you were last on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, you are now officially a graduated counsellor.
I am. I'm waiting for my diploma to be like fully sent to me and everything, but everything's handed in. My placement's done. So I'm excited. I'm going to start working early next year and big things.
What a way to end the year.
I know. I actually feel like I accomplished way more than I thought I did this year.
You accomplished about 45 times more than I did. I haven't really accomplished much this year, but
you're not alone.
Like I always say, actually, I think I said it in the introduction too. I'm not going to say it again because I already said it in the introduction. Today we're going to talk about 20 things that we learned in 2020 because I feel like while it has been a garbage fire of a year and everyone's been bitching about it, I think there has been a lot of important things that we've all learned and experienced and taken away from it. So I didn't want to finish the year on like a super negative note because I just don't like ending years like that.
Yeah.
I'm quite sentimental about New Year's for some reason and I like starting years and finishing years fresh and you know, having a positive Christmas holiday period and just
it's a reset.
Mm.
Yeah, so many people are like, oh, this year was the worst, I can't wait for it to be over, and I'm like, yeah, there was a lot of bad stuff, but there was also a lot of great stuff that I think we're like not taking the time to appreciate because the bad stuff was so bad and all-consuming.
And also, in a non-negative way, we're not going to click our fingers and it's going to turn New Year's Eve night and the world's going to be fine again.
Yeah, like, COVID disappears, everything's better again.
We're in this for the long haul, so you can at least learn a couple of lessons to take into next year.
Yeah.
Would you like to start?
Sure, okay. All right, so one of my first life lessons, which is definitely more COVID-related, I guess, is the importance of family. Obviously, like, I'm a big family person anyway. I think most people are, but my family is in Melbourne and I'm here in Brisbane and I haven't seen them since last Christmas. And I normally will go down 3 or 4 times a year because I often travel for work and stuff as well. So I make sure I see my family every sort of 3 or 4 months and I've never not seen them for a whole year.
And especially when you're the one who's isolated from them, like they were all still together.
They're all together and like they live close by. So even when they had that like 5 kilometer rule, like a lot of them could still see each other. And I have a big family.
And you're a very close family.
Yeah. 4 sisters and a brother and my mom. And it's just.
And you bought her, didn't you guys buy her, your mom a car last year?
Yeah. We all pulled together and chipped in and bought her a new car.
That is.
Well, I mean, it was like secondhand, but it's like still a few years old. She was so happy she cried.
Was that for Christmas last year?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that on Instagram.
Yeah, that's the last time I saw them. And I was driving and All I Want for Christmas Is You came on the radio and I fully started crying yesterday. I was like, in like the best way of just, I just miss my family so much. And it just really like, I think I always took it for granted and was like, oh yeah, you know, I'll see my family whenever. And this year because I couldn't, I'm like, oh, I just can't wait.
Do you know what's so cool though? By the time this episode comes out, you'll be with your family.
I know, I fly down tomorrow. I'm so excited.
We're coming to you from the past. 2 days in the past. My first one is your pajamas can be categorized into daytime and nighttime.
Oh, I learned that this year too.
Oh my God. And I'm so glad that that happened, because this is something that I picked up when I was working from home, which we all were stuck at home for quite a long time. And I was hell bent on keeping some semblance of a routine.
Yeah.
So I still was getting up early, going for, you know, a run or a walk, or doing some kind of non-gym related exercise when the gyms were closed. I'd come home, have a shower and get changed before work. But I'm one of those people who likes to be super comfortable when I work. So I am loving myself sick in all the loungewear that's really in now, because it's like bougie pajamas that you can still pop out to like Woolworths or whatever you need to do in your daytime pajamas. There's like, you wouldn't wear them out.
Yeah.
But they still make you feel like you have your life together, but you're being comfortable, but it's not, you know, it's like really...
Yeah.
Cotton On really killed this.
I got a really big love for track pants this year.
Same.
And I think that was like my daytime pajama vibe, was like I would wear track pants and a t-shirt and feel like at least I'm out of the clothes I slept in.
That's why I was so thankful for being in lockdown. And I say lockdown with bunny ears, because in Queensland, I don't think we can really talk about lockdown very heavily, but during winter, because I bought a lot of sweatpants this year and I'm really thankful to COVID for letting us, like, for it to be socially acceptable to embrace love life.
Yeah.
And I feel like I bought so many jumpers, and like, kudos to Country Road for bringing out those jumpers at the right time.
Everyone has that jumper.
Yeah. I got a pink one, but I bought it in summer, so now it's just packed away till next winter, but that's fine. I actually wore a lounge set to a party last weekend. Everyone was like, where's that from? I was like, that's right, you can wear these to parties too.
No, my boyfriend got really like, he was like, are you really wearing that to sushi? I had like track pants on and a knit sweater, and he's like, are you really wearing track pants?
People wear those all the time. Like, I know. You know those cool people who wear them with like Nikes and little Adidas cool crop tops?
Mine were like slobby. Like, he was right.
Yeah. I
was
like, if okay, I tried to do that, change. I would look like I was trying to be a breakdancer or something. Like, I just could not pull that off.
I was like bottom half homeless, top half. I was like, okay, but I've done my hair. I'm fine.
It's fine. It's a compromise.
All right, my next one is I learned this year that some people are meant to be temporary in your life.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Which I think like a lot of people can probably resonate with, if you feel like you have any like toxic friends or a workplace that is not working for you, or, you know, a fuckboy that you need to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely had that this year with friends. And just people that I have just known for so long. And it's almost like, because you have so much history, you don't want to throw that away.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just go in different directions and it's like not working anymore. So it was really hard to kind of break away from that.
Do you know what is so crazy? I literally had this conversation with someone yesterday. Breaking up with a friend, I think, is harder than breaking up with a partner, because if you break up with somebody you're in like a romantic relationship with, there's usually a reason. There's been a fight, an infidelity, or whatever it is, but it's like a mutual agreement that it's not working and you break up. So you actually do have that closure. Whereas when it's a friend, sometimes you just drift apart and there's not like a tangible thing that you can be like, oh, this is what made us not friends anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's really hard to wrap your head around that and to let things go sometimes. And you keep thinking about it and it's like, why don't they teach you how to do this?
Yeah. It's just such a weird thing. And I guess, what I really reflected on this year was that I'm grateful for the time that I had with certain people, but like that doesn't, it like, I don't need them anymore and they don't need me anymore. And it was like, we kind of like filled a hole in each other's lives at a certain time, and that was great, but you don't need to hold on to that forever if you've gone in different directions. And it's not like, you know, it's not like people are bad or, you
and
know.
It probably comes with seasons too. Like, you think back to when you left high school and there was a certain period of time when you were starting uni and whatnot that you would still speak to your high school friends, and they were still probably your predominant group. And then you just drift apart because you're not seeing each other every day, and you've got new friends at uni or whatever you're doing next, or at a job. And that's kind of the first natural, I think, progression away from... I mean, I still have a very close group of school friends, but it's not the whole grade anymore. It's, it's a smaller group of people.
I think being careful with who you choose to have around you is really important. And I think that's probably, the biggest thing with that was just, I'm just much more intentional around who I keep in my, like, close circle. And it doesn't mean I necessarily cut other people off, but...
Yeah.
If people are just not the vibe anymore, I'm like, I'm just going to take a step back and say I'm leaving our closeness in the past and I'm okay with that, and I'll just move on to the next person.
Preach. And also, I think we were also desperately trying to fill our own cups this year, that it was very hard to then, help other people. And some people are just like energy suckers, and those people who are just one-sided kind of friends who just are like, take, take.
Bingo.
There we go. Boom. Mic drop. Good segue. My next one is missing a gym session won't kill you.
Yeah.
And this is something that I didn't think I would be able to get through, because not only do I work at a head office of a gym, so I lost my income the day the gyms closed, March 23. I still remember is one of the most intense days of my life, but remember on that day, and you understand this because you go to the gym most days as well, there was the possibility that gyms could be closed for up to 6 months.
Yeah.
And the thought of not being able to go to a gym for 6 months was something I couldn't even comprehend. And I was like, I've finally realized how important gym in the morning is for my mental health. And if I don't do it in the morning, I really recognize I'm more lethargic in the day. It takes me a lot longer to get going. I'm not as energized. I'm not as on. And even if it's just a morning walk, I need to do some kind of movement in the morning. So with that thought just absolutely sent me spiraling. And because I lost my income as well, I couldn't even afford to maintain my membership and do the Zoom classes. Also, I live in a loft apartment. I couldn't do an F45 Zoom class in here. I'd ruin the neighbors. Like, it was all too much. And so I had to just adapt. And as everyone knows, I've said it multiple times on this podcast this year, I started like running and doing that kind of stuff, which I didn't super enjoy, but I learned that, you know, in things like the silly season when you might miss a couple of days at the gym 1 week because you're hungover or you're a bit tired, or, you know, gyms do close over Christmas. I used to freak out at the thought of not being able to go to the gym for like 3 days. And now it's like, finally learned. It's totally chill to be able to have a couple of days off.
Yeah. That's a good one. I know that would have been really hard for you though. That's such a big part of your identity and like your routine.
I know.
But you did it.
I know. And just not seeing, because like I see my F45 family like every day and I always know what's happening. And then I felt so isolated from them. And they all had these inside like COVID jokes that I wasn't a part of because I wasn't on the Zoom classes. And it took... Anyway, we're through it.
We made it. My next lesson was being ready and willing to pivot at any time.
Ooh, pivot and is a good... I feel like pivot is the word of 2020.
It is. It is. Everyone really had to adjust their plans this year, and I don't think many people had things planned that actually went ahead, you know.
If anybody actually achieved their New Year's resolutions this year, please slide into my DMs and let me know.
I got to like May and just deleted that note in my phone that I had, like, literally.
I don't
like,
even think I made them, to be honest.
I made not so much like resolutions, but just like
intentions
and like things I wanted to tick off. Like, it was more like a little mini goals list kind of thing. And I was like, this is just depressing me. I'm just going to bin it and I'll just deal with what I'm dealing with at the time. Yeah. But, you know, I think like a lot of people had like weddings cancelled or holidays cancelled or lost their jobs, and you know, it can be really hard to be resilient through these times. And I think we all really learned that we have to just kind of learn to go with the flow. And I'm such a person that I love to be in control. I'm a massive forward planner, meticulously to the frustration of my boyfriend, who is a go with the flow person. He's like, stop planning so much.
Oh God, I could not understand that more.
No, but like now I can actually get where he's coming from, because he's like, no, we'll just let things play out. And I'm like, okay, like I've kind of learned that this year.
Yeah.
And you know, things didn't go to plan, and we were meant to be in Europe right now on like a winter Scandinavia holiday for Christmas, and that didn't go to plan. But you know, plenty of good things came out of this year, and I just did my best to pivot and channel my energy into what I could do to make the most out of this year, which was just more time in my study, more time in the work that I could do. And yeah, I really just had to make the most of it, I guess.
Yeah, that's actually really smart. And I remember having a very similar conversation with my very wise friend, Nikki, who you'll all remember from the podcast last week. But she is like one of the level-headed, like the most level-headed rational people I've ever met. And also like me, she is very emotional. So we are, when we have like dramatic breakdown spells, we always call each other because we know that we'll talk each other off the ledge. And I called her one day. I just was having a really bad day and I was like, nothing is going right, but I know it's not for anyone. And she said to me, she's like, the only thing we can do right now is work on our own resilience.
Yeah.
And she's like, don't let this year break you. Mm-hmm. Just get through it.
And we did. We made it.
Sort of. We did.
Almost in one piece.
Yeah. My next one is, you can survive on less money than you think you can.
Ooh, good one.
Two words. Job keeper. I panicked. I really did panic. Because I was in a good financial situation at the start of the year, because all of my residual income would just go straight into savings. So I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't spend it. It was just an automatic debit transfer from the radio show and from the podcast and all that stuff. And it was good money working Sundays on the radio. It was like double time and a half, and great, all that money just went into saving. So for the first time in my life, I wasn't in like debt, and I had, you know, like my savings were going up regularly and stuff. And I got used to just being a bit more frivolous with my money because I had savings coming in from somewhere else.
Hence the snake toaster,
all that stuff. And then when COVID hit and I lost both of my streams of income and I was on JobKeeper, and thank God for JobKeeper, because you think about the poor people in America who got a one-off payment of $1,100. Like, how would, I still don't understand how they're living and paying their rent and doing all that stuff.
When, I think there's some second one now that's like $600, and
like, but like a one-off payment, like we were still getting $1,500 a fortnight, and with everything closed, you couldn't do anything. No money was coming out for like gym memberships and stuff like that. And I mean, I never had to do it, but our landlord had said to us, like, if something happens with your work, like, just contact us and we can like come to some kind of arrangement. Yeah. So I think we're always very lucky, but I remember writing the most scrupulous budget. It was like this paper, it was like two pages, like like everything in my life was broken down on that budget. It was like diet cordial, $3 for 10 litres. How many days is it going to take me to have these 10 litres? Like, it was so OTT and dramatic.
Yeah.
And I got through, like, fine. You just couldn't do your online shopping and, you know, your bougie dinners out, which didn't matter because everything was closed anyway.
True. Well, now you know that you can live on such a small amount of money, so maybe...
But you know what's wild? Now that I'm back to, like, my full-time salary, I'm, probably struggling more now than I was then, which is so weird.
Really?
Yeah. It's a mindset thing.
See, I feel like, I didn't have to go on JobKeeper or anything. I still was working throughout, but I definitely had a massive drop in clients because obviously I was coaching fitness clients who couldn't go to the gym.
Yeah.
So a lot of people were like, I'll just pause and like come back when the gym's reopened. So I only really kept the home clients. I had probably, I was down to about half of my normal income, which was a big drop for me. And yeah, I learned to like spend less. And now that things have picked back up again, I'm spending what I was spending when I was not earning much.
Really?
So I'm saving so much more. Because I'm like, well, I know that I was wasting way too much money on coffee and Uber Eats when I was being lazy. And like now I can just be so much smarter with my money because I went through that. So I'm like, that was a good lesson.
That's so good.
My next one also is the importance of self-care. And I think everyone really definitely learned that this year. You know, like being at home so much, we really did get into like bubble baths and reading and face masks because that was all we could do.
Yeah.
And it's been a really good thing for a lot of people. I mean, not the circumstances that led to it, obviously, like we kind of had to do that. But I think having that time that we kind of were like, we need to just keep our shit together has gotten people into a routine that I think now people really are going to continue to prioritize that and really like look after themselves a bit more.
1,000%. I feel like if you own a face mask business or something right now, you would be absolutely slaying, because how many, like think back, how many face masks would you have done this year?
Probably not a lot of face masks, but I had a lot of bubble baths with Lush bubble baths and just sat in there and was like, this is the worst.
I can't remember. I started a Wednesday night bubble bath tradition and I can't remember if that started pre-COVID or during COVID. Mm. I don't remember. But every Wednesday, like Wednesdays just generally seem to be like my breakdown day. I feel like you're past the fun of the weekend.
Yeah.
Reality's kicked in and you're still quite away from the next weekend.
Yeah.
And I usually hit my breaking point by Wednesday afternoon. So I'd be like, right, get home, have a bath, have a wine, just chill.
Scrub the old tan off, start fresh.
Oh, see, I don't have that problem, obviously.
No, that's when I use my bath to, like, soak off the last of my tan, scrub. I come out a fresh woman, put my new tan back on, and I'm like, I'm ready again.
It's like a baptism.
Yeah, legit.
Do you know, side note, my friend got baptized when she was in high school, and she had to get in a bath, a blow-up bath in a chapel, as a 16-year-old girl in front of everyone, and there was a baby having their baptism too, and they just tip water on the baby's head, and
why
she had to sit in the bath in togs. I don't know if they were taking
the
piss.
Was she there, like, in her bikinis, in a...
No, I think she was wearing a one-piece, because, like, it was a church, but...
That's so strange, but, you know, cool, props to her.
My next one is your mental health requires just as much work as your physical health.
Absolutely.
And I feel like this is something that I did an episode, God, it must have been like in the thick of COVID, with this psychologist called Dr. Travis Kemp, who is amazing. And he explained it in a way that was like such an epiphany light bulb moment. And he said, I remember doing a question call-out box on Instagram asking people what they wanted to know about, like, mental health and stuff during COVID, and I was just slammed, people asking questions. And someone asked a question that's so right on, and I think a lot of us can relate to this, is how come one day I'm fine and the next day I can be, like, an absolute mess? And he said it's the same... In the same way that we know that we have to, you know, like do a little bit of exercise every single day and eat healthy foods every single day and have that balance to maintain physical health, the same applies for your mental health. Yeah. So whether you are taking medication for your mental health or seeing a psychologist, just doing, you know, one of those things every now and again is not enough to sustain your mental health.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like creating rituals and stuff. So like for me, I know that if I don't exercise in the morning, that's going to throw my head off.
Yeah.
First, and I know if I have, you know, too much alcohol or too much whatever, then that's going to also wreak havoc with my mental health. And it just changes the way that you think about it. And I think it taught me to make like a mental health practice.
Yeah. Well, it definitely, you're right. I mean, we do prioritize physical health quite a lot and make sure we're eating healthy and make sure we're moving our bodies. And it's like, well, you know, your mindset actually does take ongoing work too. And you need to have like a little bit of a toolbox of like, these are the regular things that I do to just maintain.
Exactly.
And obviously if there are worse times that you need more of that stuff, like that's different. But I think, just making sure you keep up with that regularly and do what helps you feel really good is so important.
100%.
Well, that leads into my next one, which is that therapy is a game changer. And I think, more people this year sought professional help for their mental health.
So much so that you can't get an appointment until like March next year.
I know.
Which is good. Crazy. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I've been studying for my counseling diploma for the last 2 years. So I've already been learning a lot that I've been able to like implement myself, but I had been seeing a psychologist from probably like the end of last year. And I was seeing her for about 6 months all the way through until like sort of COVID had just started. And it was just such a life-changing thing for me that I just never really put enough time into that previously. Like, I'd seen psychologists on and off over the years because I have anxiety and, you know, I just need some extra support sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I never really went for long enough or like found someone that I clicked with enough to actually be like continually going, even on the weeks that I was good. Like, I just made it part of my thing.
That's what one of my friends said too. And now she, this whole year she's been going consistently, I think once a fortnight. And when she's a little bit worse, she might go once a week.
But
even when she's not feeling really shitty, she still goes because she's like, it's a practice. It's like...
Yeah. And I think more than anything, it just helps you learn more about yourself. And that's really what I gained from it, was just so much self-awareness about not just what I do, but why I do it, which kind of helps with the behavior change. So like that was really good for me. And I just got to a place where I was like, I genuinely don't need this anymore. I, you know, have my little toolbox of things I can continue to work on. And obviously like... now being a counselor myself, like I have a lot more skills that I can implement for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think so many people really took advantage of that this year, and got the help that they needed that maybe they were too worried to kind of ask for previously.
But now it's like almost cool.
It is.
like if you don't have...
It's not an issue anymore. It's not like stigmatized. It's like everyone this year was struggling and it made it okay to ask for that help. So there's just... such a demand now for mental health practitioners. So I'm excited to get stuck into it and help more people. Like the counseling clients I've had in the last few months, like I feel so fulfilled and
so good.
Yeah. It's nice to be kind of part of that now. Yeah. And just help people feel better.
Yeah. I love that. Well, I'm going to take a bit of a pivot. My next one is I learned that tigers, A, do not make good pets and tiger owners do not make good spouses.
Oh no.
Because if you didn't watch, is there anyone who didn't watch Tiger King?
Surely everyone on the planet's watched it at this point.
And I feel like that was the first COVID binge series that we all watched. And it was like, have you watched Tiger King?
It was
have
a communal, like we're all in the memes.
Right.
And the song.
Everything about it. Now you can buy the Halloween costumes.
Like, no.
I always get served ads for Costume Box because I have a lot of costumes on different occasions. But there's like full-on Carol Baskin costumes and Joe Exotic costumes. And anyway.
That feels like a lifetime ago, don't you think?
It does.
Like the Tiger King phase.
Because that was, like... I reckon that would have been, that would have come onto Netflix like March, April.
Yeah.
Like it was very early
right
on
the
in the,
start, yeah.
Yeah. I don't even think we would have been in like, and I say again, in Queensland with bunny ears lockdown at that point yet, but it was very early on.
Crazy. That just, I can't even, I feel like that was like 2 years ago.
Mm.
All right, well, I'm going to pivot right on back. One thing that really jumped out to me and so many people this year was around the Black Lives Matter movement. And it was obviously not a new thing, but I think it just was so in the forefront of people's minds this year. And we all just actually stopped and learned so much that we previously overlooked. And I think especially here in this country, like, we don't, I don't feel like we have as many instances of, you know, especially around like police brutality with, you know, people of different skin colors, but it's still here. And it's something that I think, like, we just lived in such a bubble where we just didn't have to deal with it. And even just the fact that we're such a predominantly white country, you know, we just kind of closed our eyes and went through life as if it wasn't a problem because it didn't affect us. And I just got a rude shock about it. And like, I was so obsessed with just learning more and more. And like, obviously it was such a good thing and an eye open thing, but it was also just freaking heartbreaking.
Do you know what's crazy? What's come off the back of it in like a negative way is I've got a very good friend, Keisha, and she's Indigenous. And she said that a lot of brands and people were reaching out to her during that time to collaborate, which became like tokenism. They just wanted to have their piece of the pie to be seen, like their company was doing. And it would rattle you to know which company. I'm obviously not going to say which companies they were, but it's, that stuff is so ignorant and they're just feeding into the into the narrative.
It's hard though, because then it's like, well, they want to be inclusive and they want to do better, so they want to get these people on board, but then it's like, is it genuine or not? And is it just because it's a thing? And I think it's really interesting to see the businesses and the brands that have kept up with that and, like, you know, remained diverse in their marketing and like expanded their teams as well to see, like, are they actually including different races in their like offices and stuff? I don't know. It just, that was probably the biggest thing that just completely blew my mind this year, was this, how little I knew about. And, you know, I'm the first person to say I'm not the world's most woke person. I don't often read the news and things like that. Or like, I just, if it doesn't affect me, I'm really in that little,
I'm privileged
bubble of like, I'll just deal with what affects me. Not in a intentional way. It's just, I never had to think about it. So I don't know.
And you have so much empathy.
I spent a lot of time crying because I just, A, felt so bad for the people that experienced that, and B, just felt so shitty as a person that I just never stopped to understand.
I know.
You know, we can all do better. It was a good learning experience that we need to keep working on.
I'm going to pivot again. You're making me feel really bad because yours are like really deep and serious and mine is super top line and frivolous. My next one is, you're never too old to download TikTok or do fun childish shit, because also I find as a TikTok user, I don't upload a lot, but I'm on it every single day looking. I find the older people have the far better content on TikTok anyway. Like, the young kids all just do the challenge stuff, the dance, and it's like, whatever, like, you're just a hot chick dancing. And you've got like 5 million followers. You're lip syncing and your mouth is moving at a different time to the actual person talking. Like, don't upload that. But they still have like 5 million likes. Anyway, one of the best people I found on TikTok this year, I can't even remember what his name was, but he's a father. He's in Sydney and his son likes to wear Disney princess costumes.
Stop.
Have you seen him?
Yes.
Oh my God, he is the best. And he loves to wear the Elsa Frozen dress.
That's the one I saw.
And they got invited to the Frozen premiere musical in Sydney and he wanted to wear a dress, but he was like, Dad, will you wear a dress with me? And I think he was on Sunrise or something because he said he was so nervous, but he was like, of course I'm going to do this for my son.
Yeah.
And they both wore Elsa gowns to the Frozen musical premiere and then they went viral and it's the cutest thing, and now he has this whole big like parenting TikTok about how the best thing you can do for your kids is to just accept them and do whatever they want to do, and how he used to be really worried about what people would say about his son when he'd go out wearing like a bell dress or whatever, and he loves to paint his nails, but he's like, it brings him so much happiness, and as a parent that's all you want for your kids.
I love TikTok.
He is the best person on TikTok, I swear.
There's actually so much value in TikTok that people are just like, oh, it's just like a stupid thing that people lip sync and dance. And like, it's all right. A lot of that happens. But you know how like the For You page is so like, it's for you. Like, it's the smartest algorithm in the world. And so it's like, I don't really engage with those kind of silly videos. And I have heaps of like just really diverse feed of interesting stuff. And I learn things and I follow a lot of like therapists and mental health professionals as well, so I like learn all this cool stuff. I'm like, that's such a good way to put that, and I love it.
It's the best.
And I spend too many hours on TikTok.
Same.
My next one is not to take freedom for granted. So I guess obviously like COVID really just threw us for a loop in that one. But we were so lucky that we never really had a lockdown here. It was such a minimal lockdown and it was such a short period.
I know that like Melbourne and stuff is different, but our lockdown was like, I know in Queensland, the worst we had it was that we couldn't go more than 25 kilometres from our homes, but we could still go outside. We could still exercise.
We could still walk with one friend if we were 1.5 metres apart. So it's like, you could still catch up with people.
And I think you could still have five people in your home.
No, there was a point where you couldn't.
Anyone that wasn't living there.
Yeah. But I could still go to my partner's house. So that was fine. But the only time that I was in like full lockdown was right at the very start. I think it was like the 20th of March or something that I had a wedding that I had to fly to Sydney for. It was right, but like the week before everything went wild.
I remember this.
Yeah. And it was a long-term client of mine that I've worked with for years and years and years. And she had invited me to this wedding like a year before. Hmm. Like I'd been really looking forward to it. I was taking another one of my clients as my date. Like it's going to be this great thing. And she was so stressed leading up to that because it was like, that was the week that things were starting to get crazy and they were changing the numbers of how many people you could have at a wedding and all this stuff was like going into effect, but we weren't actually in lockdown yet. And I was like, oh my gosh, I still want to really be there for her if it's safe enough to be. Flights were still going. I was going to wear a mask and all that stuff. So like I was really trying to be careful, but I just wanted to go. And when I got back, I didn't have to quarantine. Like we still weren't in a lockdown. We didn't have those rules, but I was like, I'm just going to do the right thing and just quarantine for 2 weeks anyway, just to make sure like I've been in an airport, I'll just do the right thing. And I wanted to set a good example too and make sure I was actually sticking to it. That was the hardest 2 weeks of my life.
I remember that so clearly.
And I was going crazy. I hit a wall probably around day six that I was
but
like,
you were living in a one bedroom apartment.
I had a balcony, but it was like, it looked straight onto the apartments opposite me, so like I didn't really want to hang out there. Couldn't see my boyfriend. He like has a job that he can't, like he had to be really careful, so he would come like drop groceries off at my door, knock on the door, and then stand like 2 meters back and like talk to me for a bit, or like just leave me like a coffee at my doorstep. I wouldn't even go out into my hallway. I was like, no. I'm not doing it. I'm being extra careful. Like,
well, maybe more people like that. We wouldn't be in this situation now.
But now I'm just like, oh my goodness, like I'm so lucky that we can do so.
I know. Well, that rolls very nicely into my next one, which is how grateful I am to be living in Australia.
Yes.
Because I just think of the poor people overseas. Like I've got close friends in New York. My sister and her fiancé are in the Netherlands and they're in now a very strict lockdown until January 19.
Oh.
So they can't see anybody for Christmas.
That's so
All the
sad.
Shops and everything are shut. They can't do anything. They can't go outside. It's like the absolute middle of winter. So it's so cold. And I think that a lot of us got so much solace from like walking and running and stuff, but it's like negative 10. She messaged me this morning and said, I just tried to go for a run and I feel like my lungs have got needles in them. And I was like, okay, just chill. But imagine they're doing quite well. Like, she's surprised me. She's a very anxious person and she's really done well this year considering the position that she's in. But yeah, it just makes me so grateful to be here.
We're so lucky. I feel really bad, like anyone that's listening that is in a really bad lockdown, like we don't want to dismiss that and be like, oh, we're so lucky. Like,
no.
I really feel for everyone that's had it so much worse. But yeah, we have to stop and I guess just really be grateful that it was never too much of an issue here and that we're safe now at the moment. There's not really any concerns for us and I hope it stays that way.
I know.
Well,
what's your last one?
Wait, do I have one or two more? I have a couple more.
Oh.
Mate.
I have one more.
Oh, okay. Maybe I had more than 10 on my list. My next one was be grateful for travel. Because I am someone that I could just pack up and go anytime I wanted because I work from home. And yeah, like I just never really thought I couldn't travel. Like, I don't want to be like, oh my God, like I have so much money and freedom and blah, blah, blah. But like, I've just always been really blessed that because I work from home, I can pack up, go wherever I want, go to Melbourne whenever I want to. And it was just never an issue. And now that I'm like, I don't know the next time I'll be able to travel. And even just not even being able to go to Melbourne the entire year, like I really appreciate all the trips I have been able to do, because who knows when we can go back again. And yeah, I'm just going to really savor any chance I get to actually do something going forward.
You know what? It's kind of flipped it for me too. I haven't done a lot of travel, and I think it's made me realize why. I've gone overseas a couple of times, but it's not something I like super, super enjoy, to be like really honest. And I think because I have such intense anxiety that I really thrive when I have a routine and I don't like the unknown. I don't.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I haven't traveled a lot.
Yeah.
But now that it's been taken away, I'm like, am I going to like live my life having not experienced a lot of the world?
Yeah.
So now I regret not doing it more. It's okay.
My next one is learning to slow down and avoiding the constant hustle. So I have been just hustling for a really long time, like running my own business and being pretty much a one-man show. Like I work 7 days a week, not full days every day, but there's every single day I'm on my phone replying to clients or checking my emails. And yeah, this year really forced me to slow down in a way of that. I always have like an ideal cap of like how many clients I'll accept. And I always say, oh, like once I hit this number, I'm going to make people wait on a wait list. And I never do. And I always like overcommit myself and just like end up working till ridiculous hours because I don't know how to say no to work. Whereas this year, like having it forced on me that I had to work less because there just was not the clients there. You know, people didn't want to work on their health and fitness as much if they could go to the gym. So like learning to stop and actually like have days off was so good for me. I mean, financially it was not great, but I think we all just kind of learned that like it's okay to just do nothing for a little bit.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I understand that too, because I was very much like that. It was like always thing to thing to thing, multiple things in a day, every week, every day on the weekend was work too. And I always used to joke about, and this is so sick when I think about it in hindsight, I used to always joke about the fact that I couldn't not have 50 things planned for a day because I hated to be alone with my own thoughts. And that's probably why I've had so many like breakdowns and like melting breaking points this year, is because I have had a lot of time to just sit and think.
And just be.
Sometimes, and it's very uncomfortable to sit and think and be with your own thoughts, but I think sometimes that's healthy.
I think we needed that. And that's a thing. Like, I think that's what pushes me to work so much too, is that I just don't know. And not even from a not wanting to be alone with my thoughts. I'm pretty self-aware and I'm pretty good with processing my thoughts and I'm very emotionally in tune, but I don't know how to not do anything from like a, almost like an ADHD situation where I'm just like, I'm a fidgety person. I'm used to being connected to technology all the time. So I just have this like compulsion to
always be doing something. So if you're watching TV, will you always like be on your phone at the same time 100%. And always doing the
things? I'm always doing three things at once and it's so bad for me. So I've been like really trying to slow down in every way this year and using like this whole thing that happened to be like, okay, this is a lesson of that I really needed a break. I didn't take any time off, over like Christmas or anything last year. So I'd been like working the whole way through and I was like, okay, this is the time that I can still keep working, but I don't have to be in hustle mode like 24/7.
And just chill with your family.
Yeah. It'll be a good time.
My last one is, it's okay not to always be moving forward and achieving things, because I can confidently say in 2020, I've achieved nothing.
Aww.
And that is quite, well, not nothing, but like comparatively to where I was at the start of the year, I really thought this was my like career year where I was going to be like moving into full-time podcasting and radio, and like everything I'd worked so hard for literally like 10 years for was just pulled away from me. Like it was to so many people, like the industry's, you know, not in a great place right now, but I'm always a very big like achieving person. And I think that this year, because you weren't able to do things like live shows and a lot of budgets were pulled from clients, there was no sponsors and I wasn't making money from this stuff anymore. So it became, not that I'm driven by the money part of it, but you need money if you're going to have the space to create good content and good quality things, which I don't feel like I've been doing to the best of my ability this year because, you know, obvious reasons. It's just been a lot, but I think that it's okay not to have, I don't even know.
Don't have to always top yourself. Every year doesn't always have to be better. You don't always have to earn more money. You don't always have to be doing a million more projects or losing more weight or, you know, upgrading your house or whatever. It's, so many people this year had to take a step back and go, you know what, this year I'm probably just going to go backwards in a lot of ways and that's okay. Like, I definitely did. I earned less money this year. This was the first year, actually, that I hadn't improved
yeah.
in my right. like yearly income but in the 5 years of owning my business. Yeah. Every year I'd been better.
Even the industries that weren't really touched, like a lot of my friends who were like lawyers and things like that, they were still working consistently the whole time. But, yeah. you know, they haven't had their bonuses and yeah. they haven't had as many clients. And, you know, it's just, it's all...
Yeah. Well, that was hard because I was like, I'm such an ambitious person and I had all these like financial goals for this year. I want to buy a house. So I was like, yep, I'm going to hit this amount of money for my earnings. So I'm going to have this amount in my savings, and that didn't go to plan.
And... Yeah. And I feel like the career thing really hit me hard this year because I feel like I've always, it's always been like a, how do you say it? What's the word? I'm really drawing a mental blank here. I should have thought about this way more. It's been like, it's almost character defining. Like I've yeah. always been one of those people who my friends are like, oh, that's Phoebe. She's got all these crazy cool jobs and yeah. she does this and this and yeah, this and whatever. Yeah,
slashy.
Yeah. And like I've always taken a lot of pride in my career. Part of my identity. That's it. Yes. I think that my career has always been such a massive part of my identity. Yeah, and this year it is in the fucking toilet. And I think it's taken me, and I'm still not fine with it. Like I'm still not really okay with it.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, it's okay. You're because accepting. It's situational.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think so much of this was not our fault. Yeah. You know, you can't really control everything. And while it's good to be ambitious and want to achieve things, it doesn't always go to plan. You know, people gained weight this year or broke up with their partners or, you know, not everything went great this year. And it's okay if not everyone had an amazing year. Exactly. The guy that owns Amazon's probably the only one killing it right now.
Shout out to you, Jeff Bezos. If you're hiring, please take us all. Well, I feel like we always end on advice, but I don't think we should end on advice because we just gave 20 absolute nugget gems worth of advice.
I know. I feel like so many people can resonate with those. I mean, we tried to make sure that they're a little bit more universal so you guys could kind of join in. But if you guys have any other like life lessons or important things that you've learned or achieved this year, maybe we should try and get people to tell us what they've like the good stuff they've achieved this year.
That would be nice. How about I put a post in the Closed Trainwreck Facebook community yeah. group on Facebook. If you don't follow it, the link is in the show notes this week. I'll start a post
yeah.
and everyone go in and put one thing that they've learned or are grateful for this year in it.
Yeah. One of each would be really good. I'd love to know that one thing you've learned and one thing that you're grateful for or like that you've done really well. Because we can celebrate together.
Boom.
What a way to jump into a new year.
Mic drop. Let's have a gingerbread break.
Yes. Don't you second guess me.
No, no. Confessions of a train wreck. If you haven't subscribed yet, hello, do it now. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, rate me and write a review. See you again next week for Trainwreck Tuesday.